Disappointment disappoints us. It strikes us as anticlimactic. Our God has given us direction through short declarative sentences. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. And we brace ourselves for God to prohibit some heinous deed. And instead, God speaks to say, watch your thoughts. Watch your thoughts. We expect God to prohibit some physical action, but no, God speaks to our state of mind. And God says, do not go through life wishing you had what somebody else has. And our response to that injunction is twofold. First, what's the problem? What does it matter? If my neighbor has a better house, a better car, a better job, a more prestigious profession, why shouldn't I envy that? Why shouldn't I want that for myself? And even if there is something wrong with it, how can I not do it? I can only answer that question by means of what I call the Snyder parable. I didn't know when I was preparing this sermon that my parents would be here, because they're the only people who would know that my father's aunt Elizabeth had a dog named Snyder. And Snyder had the privilege and the misfortune to be the most pampered canine to ever walk the earth. My Aunt Elizabeth and Uncle Jim had no children, so they lavished all of their generosity and their compassion upon Snyder, and Snyder was easily satisfied with the best of everything. Snyder had a covetous eye. And my great aunt would go into the restaurant, she would order fried chicken, she would cut off the wing for herself and take the breast out to Snyder to enjoy. I'm not kidding. Snyder's every whim was catered to, and as a result, he developed the belly of a pelican wedded to the frame of a schnauzer. He was literally out of balance. And as a result, his life was shortened by all of the good things that he enjoyed. When we live with a covetous eye, it distorts our being. It throws us out of balance. Our Lord demonstrated this when he fed the 5,000 with a few loaves and fish, but then said, we do not live by bread alone. It was our Christ who stated the principle of balance forthrightly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all other things will be added as well. What is bad about coveting? How does it distort us? I can express that truth metaphorically. Our God created all of creation, brought everything into being, and then said, it is very good. Our God put all of the good things of creation at our feet and made us master over them. But what happens in coveting? Our attitudes are such that what God places at our feet worms its way into our heart. And God, who is meant to be in our heart, is pushed to the side as we fixate on our ambitions. And what we are supposed to be master over becomes master over us. That is what a life of coveting can produce. A distorted and unbalanced life. How do we stop from coveting? Oddly enough, our God has given us the answer in the first of His word. You want to keep the 10th commandment? Keep the first. The more I study the 10 commandments, the more I am sure that the first commandment and the 10th commandment serve as brackets. How can we not covet? By answering the first commandment's command, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." If you love the Lord with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind, then God is your master. And the things at your feet can't become master over you. The 10th commandment is a word of genius. A word of genius. Because it understands the connection between desire and deed. If I spend my life looking at your blessings and wanting them, that desire creates an attitude that creates a distorting deed. We look at the people we envy and think, "Oh, if I just had their advantages, if I just had his job, if I just had her talent, how I could glorify God." We envision ourselves as praising God only through our successes. Has it ever occurred to us that we can bring glory to God by how we handle our failures? Oh, if I just had their advantages, how I could be a blessing to God's kingdom. We don't know that. That's just jealousy and envy talking. Maybe we can glorify God by how we handle what we have been given in our victories and in our defeats. Do not covet, says God. Why? Because God is saying something that was said very profoundly by that great theologian, Barney Fife. Why do we not covet? Because we are called by our God to discipline our thoughts, to train our mind, so as to nip sin in the bud. What does Barney say? Nip it in the bud. If we train our mind, if we discipline our thoughts, we don't let desire become deed. We nip sin in the bud. That's what our Lord is saying to us when He enjoins us. Do not covet. What is coveting? Coveting is comparing. Coveting is creating a standard of success, an artificial standard of success, and applying it to our neighbor and saying, "They're a success because they've attained this standard, and I have not, so I am a failure." What happens when we do that? We create a gulf of estrangement between us and our neighbor. They've done nothing wrong to us. But we've created a gulf because we envy what they have. What is coveting? coveting is a projection of our insecurities. We perceive some lack in ourselves, and we look at someone else whom we think has it all together, and applying that artificial standard against them, we degrade our own lives. But if we removed that artificial standard, if we took away that false measuring stick of comparison and just let them be who they are and relish who we are, we could enjoy their accomplishments without any rancor or envy or jealousy. Let me give you an example of what I mean. How many of you in here recognize the name of Joey Chestnut? Joey Chestnut is famous. Joey Chestnut is rich. Joey Chestnut is on ESPN. Joey Chestnut is considered the best in the world at what he does. And what is Joey Chestnut's talent? He eats hot dogs. Every July the 4th, Joey Chestnut wins the Coney Island hot dog eating contest. In 2013, the man wolfed down 69 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. Now, unless you are a teenage boy, you do not covet Joey Chestnut's attainments. We can applaud them. We can be amazed at them. We can acclaim them. But we don't measure our self-worth by how many hot dogs and buns we can eat. And so we don't envy his riches or his fame. We don't envy his talent because we don't measure ourselves by that. If we can remove those artificial standards by which we measure others and ourselves, we can enjoy their attainments and achievements without feeling a corresponding envy or rancor in ourselves. How do we avoid coveting? By love. By loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Oh, Dr. Kramer, that's pie in the sky. No, it's reality. I don't believe there's one good parent in here who would covet his or her child's attainments if they surpassed our own. If they achieved more success, if they gained greater professional expertise, no good parent would covet the achievements of their children. They would relish them. They would celebrate them because they love their children. We cannot covet the successes of our children. We just celebrate them. When I think of the injunction, "Thou shalt not covet," it brings to my mind that extraordinary movie, "It's a Wonderful Life." George Bailey's brother goes off to war, does heroic acts, receives the Medal of Honor, is received by the president. George Bailey, because of his physical handicap, can't go off to serve. And Potter, that evil old spider, says, "I am sure that George Bailey is eaten up with envy." And Uncle Billy says, "He only burst three buttons with pride." He only burst three buttons with pride. He loves his brother so much, he can't envy his attainments. He's not jealous over his glory. He doesn't covet his achievements. He's bursting with pride because he loves him. We can avoid coveting when we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Some of you came back just a few months ago from the Holy Land, and I am sure that you stood above Jerusalem and looked down upon the holy city and saw the retaining wall of Herod's temple, known as the Wailing Wall and the Western Point, that's known in Jerusalem as the Pinnacle Point, where tradition says Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. And how did our Lord respond? Maybe he had an inkling of desire to rule the world, but he would not allow desire to become deed. Instead, he focused around the first commandment. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do those two great commandments, you will not covet. What does the songwriter Sheryl Crow say? Life is not about having what you want. It's about wanting what you have. It's not about having what you want, it's about wanting what you have. That's the antidote to coveting. When we go through life wanting, having to want, spend our lives aspiring to what we don't have, we dishonor the God who has given us what we do have. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a positive word for building a positive life and for treasuring the depth of blessings with which God has defined your life. Relish God's graciousness. May we pray together. God, we confess to you that sometimes we spend our lives wishing for things we do not need. Teach us to aspire to those things that would make us true to you, and in so doing find our truest selves. May we become the servants, the ambassadors for Christ, by the way we live. In the name of that Christ we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit of God has challenged you through this 10th word, we offer you an opportunity to respond, to claim this Christ who can give you purpose and meaning and the freedom for living with integrity. Come into this fellowship, splice your life into this community, receive its support, and give your support to others that we might make church together. Come as we stand and sing.